Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to Poorly Read, episode number, I'm going to say 9? Something. Well, we're going to hit the halfway point of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets today. We're going to be doing chapters 7, 8, and 9.
Maybe our intro should be more like relaxed, like, hello, welcome to Poorly Read. It's like a jazz piano in the background.
Like, go into it with a bit too many beans.
So like a 90s, like, Saturday morning kids TV show.
Hello, like, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Maybe we should do, like, an episode of, like, Live and Kicking, or, like, Dick and Dom in the Bungalow. You know. Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read. Whole lot of fun prizes to be won. Yeah, so what are we talking about today, Tom?
We are talking about... Haven't we already covered that?
I don't know.
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. We're up to chapter 7, yeah. Mudbloods and Murmurs.
Yeah. We hear our first slur in the wizarding world.
First wizard curse. Although, no, curse means something different.
It does mean something different. We're talking about magic now, Tom.
Yeah.
And that means bad things in magic land.
Mudblood.
No, a curse.
Oh.
So what do they call a curse that's not a curse? Because they don't say slur.
A swear word?
They don't say that either, do they? Or maybe they do.
A cuss word.
Oh, God. Oh, that it just makes me roll my eyes so hard. Although I do like in Wes Anderson's Fantastic Mr. Fox... That they say cuss instead of swear word. So when everything goes wrong, he's like, oh man, this is such a cluster cuss. And I'm like, ah, I love it. Anywho, mudbloods and murmurs. Murmurs?
Murmurs.
Yeah.
There's some murmuring going on in this chapter.
Yeah, so it starts with Quidditch, right? Quidditch practice.
Yeah, Colin Creevy following Harry around.
Fucking Colin Creevy.
Like a... annoying, buzzy groupie. Little shadow.
Yeah, like, groupie. Fucking hell. And Harry just sort of... He doesn't, like, tolerate it, really, but he does.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you can't just tell him to fuck off.
I mean, why not?
Well, I'm sure you would.
But, like, Colin, actually, fuck off. I'm not your friend, and you're a year below me. This is never gonna work.
Yeah, but then you get a reputation for being like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see this that is... like it's a bad thing.
See, this, I want to start trying to, like, balance that out, because I feel like, because you're quite, and I don't take this the wrong way, but you're, like, you know, quite full of venom and hatred. So I feel like I want to try and bring some balance to that.
I mean...
Otherwise, we'll end up a venomous, hate-filled podcast.
I think you do that a lot, though.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad Harry doesn't quite tell Colin Creevy to fuck off in as many words. But Colin Creevy does kind of need to fuck off.
He does.
And Harry denies knowing him later, which made me laugh.
I do like that, yeah. So I never seen him before.
Yeah.
I never touched that bitch. Okay. Yeah. So they start Quidditch practice, as they do, or they go to start Quidditch practice, I should say.
Yeah, they have a little bit, like, is this where Oliver Wood's woken them up really early and goes through, like, three flip charts of practice
I
stuff?
I think so. No, he doesn't go through the flip chart.
Is that later?
Yeah, I think he just says, like, we need to start early, so he's booked the pitch. So he takes them down, like, really early morning. So they get to the pitch, and just what I wondered just out of thin air is, I was wondering if, like, Quidditch is based on, like, an old-timey sport that we don't know about. So I was just thinking, like, they have, like, the rules for it are quite solid, and I was wondering if she did just pull that out of thin air, or if it might be based on something that at least is quite obscure. I don't know.
Oh, like a real-world old sport.
Yeah, so maybe there was, like, a weird, like, chasey-chasey game back in the day.
And there were two players on each team that just threw rocks at the other team's players or something.
Yeah, maybe. Right? And maybe, like, they had, you know, whoever was, like, the local town, like, dwarf. You had to catch the dwarf.
Yeah.
And then you won the game.
He was the snitch. Whoever had been, like, it was like the village grass.
Yeah.
He'd, like, well, you got to be the snitch.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious because it's quite a fully formed game. And I'm just wondering how, you know, wondrous her imagination actually is.
Well, it's fully formed other than the bits of the rules that don't make any sense.
Yeah, and you can apply that to the entire book series.
Yeah. I think we are.
Yeah. So yeah, like they go to start and then fucking the Slytherin team appears.
Yeah, with a new member.
Yeah.
Whose father has bought his way onto the team. Can you guess who it is? I mean, everyone knows who it is.
It's Malfoy.
Yeah, and he doesn't seem aware or conscious of, doesn't seem self-conscious about the fact that he has clearly just, his place on the team has just been bought.
Yeah, I feel like that's so common in probably his life so far, that to him, like money being used in that way is not weird. That's just how it is.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like, oh, well, that is just how you get ahead in the world. It's not based on merit. I feel like that's just how he's been brought up.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yes, so I feel like when Hermione sort of points it out, that's probably the first time anyone's ever called him out for it, ever. But they do have shiny new brooms that Malfoy's dad has bought them. And I fucking love the design of the Nimbus 2001s in the movie. Like, so much so that I desperately, for a long time, in fact, I still do, I wanted the, like, life-size replica of the broom.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just think it's so nice.
Have you noticed in the movies, they have little stirrups.
Yeah, I think that's super, super cool.
Well, it is, because otherwise, where would your feet, like, you have to cross your feet over the back of the broom or something. Have your legs just, like,
yeah.
Or legs just dangle down. Because it doesn't, because there's a reason broomsticks are mythical. And, like, no saddle or seat for anything is a thin pole like that that you straddle. Because it's uncomfortable and impractical.
No, the poles, the wood is enchanted with a cushion and charm. So it is comfortable to sit on. But yeah, you're right. I guess in that, in real world or in the books, they did just sort of like grip the actual like broomy bit of the broom with their ankles. Because otherwise you're right, they would just have their feet dangling and it would be a bit like...
Which I feel like, I wish I'd looked out for it when we watched the first film, but...
They definitely didn't have it in the first film,
I think. Didn't have the broom stirrups, no. But I wanted to look out for what like Harry's legs were doing while he was flying.
I mean...
They just hang down?
Yeah, or maybe he just didn't have legs.
It's the initiation onto the Quidditch team, yeah. Harry.
So get rid of those legs. You, but we just fucking chop your legs off. He's like, wow, it's what I've always wanted.
Yeah, so at the crack of dawn on the Quidditch pitch, Ron and Hermione turn up for some reason.
Yeah, that is a bit bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's so that Malfoy can call Hermione a mudblood.
Yeah.
Plot-wise.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why do they come to watch? They have Quidditch practice like 3 times a week. They're not coming and watching every fucking Quidditch practice.
That is such a good point, actually. Why are they there? Because it's fucking early as well.
It's early as balls, yeah.
Yeah, that is bizarre, actually. I didn't actually notice that until now.
Well, nevertheless, they're there.
Said J.K. Rowling. So, yeah, so like Hermione goes, that's it, because the Slytherins have a special note from Snape saying that they're allowed to use the pitch this morning in order to train their new Seeker. And then Malfoy steps forward. And everyone's like, oh, what the fuck? And then a little bit of quote. Back and forth. Yeah. And then, like, eventually Hermione goes, well, at least I didn't need to buy my way onto the Quidditch team, Malfoy, or something like that. And then Malfoy's like, how dare you speak to me, you dirty little mudblood? Everyone's like,
yeah, everyone loses their shit. And Ron takes out his wand and tries to curse Malfoy.
Yeah. And it backfires spectacularly.
It backfires and something flies out of Ron's wand the wrong way, hits him in the stomach and he starts burping out slugs. And their immediate response is, let's get him to Hagrid's.
Yeah, you're so right.
What? I mean, they say because it's closest.
I mean, I guess so. And maybe it's, yeah, it makes no sense. You would just go to Madame Pomfrey.
You would. And they all say it. They're all looking at it puzzled, like, wow, I don't know what we can do other than wait for it to stop. What makes him think that the slugs aren't being magically, like, conjured inside him and
yeah,
they're never going to stop?
Like an anti-slug potion. Maybe it's because Harry knows that Hagrid's got that flesh-eating slug repellent. So he's like, maybe if he's got that, He's got the cure for slug vomiting.
Maybe he knows all about slugs.
Yeah, which he fucking would. Do you know it's super dangerous to eat slugs, by the way?
Is it?
Like super, yeah, there was this guy who ate one as a joke, but there's this bacteria that a lot of slugs have that when you, if you eat them, it like infects your body super, super quick and you'll die within like a day or so. It's not like a guarantee it will happen, but it's like it can happen. And it did happen to this guy who ate one on like a stag do, I think, as like a joke. Yeah, and he died.
God damn.
So don't eat slugs, guys.
Yeah, I've got to stop eating slugs.
Yeah, it's not good for you, mate.
Fuck. I mean, no one's ever explained the science to me before. People would just say, Tom, stop eating slugs. I'm like, why?
Yeah, I thought these lesions were because of my AIDS. So yeah, they fucking go off to Hagrid's.
Yeah, I just don't understand the logic behind...
Yeah, well, Hagrid has to give him a bucket.
Yeah, just wait for it to stop. They'll, you know, he'll get them all up eventually.
Oh, it's so like,
well, it's not like Hermione at all to be like, well, yeah, okay. She would be like, no, I think we need to go to Madame Pomfrey because that's obviously the sensible thing to do.
Yeah, maybe Hermione was just feeling out of sorts, you know?
Yeah, maybe. She does come up with a plan later on that involves breaking a lot of rules.
Yeah, weirdly, I would say.
Yeah.
It sort of comes out of nowhere. She has this fully formed plan of exactly what to do. I guess that's just Hermione, isn't it? Maybe that's what she does in her spare time. Just sits around, like, formulating plans for, like, you know, eventualities.
Well, she's got a lot of knowledge.
She's got a lot of time.
She reads a lot.
She does read a lot.
And so...
That's kind of all she does, really.
Yeah, she's just got that when, you know, when situations occur, she's got the knowledge to be, like... Boom, plan. Yeah,
she's like, let me pull out my Filofax. Look, got a fucking remedy right for this.
Yeah.
So they say, yeah, so Malfoy said this word, and I didn't know what it meant, but it must have been really bad because everyone got a bit weird. And then Ron's like, yeah, we called her a mudblood. It's like the worst thing that you can call a muggle-born. And it means dirty blood, which I thought, well, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Really.
It means they have mud in their blood.
Yeah, and then Hagrid's like, oh, that's Codswallop. I don't get this whole... It's not Codswallop that's what he called her. He's like, it's Codswallop that it's like mudbloods are seen as...
Yeah, people like him, they're, you know, old blood. They think pure blood's better. But Neville's pure blood and he's a fucking idiot. And
so true.
They haven't invented a spell our Hermione can't do. Which I'm sure isn't true. But, you know, nice compliment.
Yeah, right? I mean, I feel like any spell which would involve, like, I don't know, something manly, like a testicle, Hermione would be like, well, I'm stumped.
Wow. Did you hear that? Quote from Gift and Etty in there. Spells that involve testicles,
what's
witches can't do. Sexist.
That should be the Hogwarts slogan, right?
Don't try and cast testicle spells if you're a woman.
Use, I mean, when you spells. Think about it, I'm not like entirely wrong, I guess.
No.
I'm only joking, guys.
I don't imagine testicles play a large part in any...
I feel like that's like really, that's like some like Nocturne Alley magic.
Do you think, you know? There is like sexual magic?
Yeah, of course.
Like the grown-up witches and wizards do.
Yeah. Apparently, like, in, like, voodoo and, like, hoodoo and things, like, sex... Yeah, so hoodoo is... It's, like, a branch of voodoo, but I think hoodoo is kind of very specific to, like, North America. So, like, New Orleans and places like that, I think that's sort of, like, a very localized form of voodoo. But I know that sex magic is, like, a really potent form of, like, magic in, like, voodoo and hoodoo. Because, like, the, like, zenith you reach in, like, climax...
Go
like
on.
The energy, go on. The energy that's like expelled in that moment, and sort of like the brief glimpse of like God that you would get in that moment, is sort of like a very, it's sort of like the pinnacle of the magic that you're like trying to work. So yeah, it's a thing.
Well,
yeah,
here we go.
Education for you then.
About voodoo and hoodoo, yeah. Apparently. I just thought that was a way of asking if there's anyone around who can do voodoo. Hoodoo.
Hoodoo, voodoo. I remember watching this Arthur C. Clarke video once, and this guy was like, yeah, if you kill a rattlesnake and then drag it through someone's front yard, that'll kill everyone in their house. And I was like, fucking hell. Yeah, so don't do that, kids.
What?
Yeah.
Well, let's... Sounds like the sort of nonsense I just have no time for. Right, where are we? They're in Hagrid's. Do they talk about anything important at Hagrid's other than what mudblood means?
No, Ron sneezes and like sprays the table with like mini slugs, and Hagrid's like, oh, don't do that. I've just made like treacle here or whatever.
What are there's mention of Gilderoy Lockhart. Also, one thing I like about Hagrid is that he does call a spade. Is that a racist thing?
In what way is that racist?
I thought a spade was a racist term.
No.
Oh, okay.
Fuck it. Well, I guess it is now.
But like, you know, yeah. he doesn't like dance around saying what he thinks about people, except in some occasions about Snape when they're all saying things about Snape. He's like, look,
yeah,
Snape's a teacher.
Like, that's only out of respect for Dumbledore, I guess.
Yeah, but like when it comes to like talking about Lockhart,
yeah, because Hermione's like, well, if he wasn't good enough for the job, he wouldn't have got appointed. And then Hagrid's like, he was the only man for the job, like everyone else said no. Yeah. And they're like, but Hermione still like thinks he's God's gift. But yeah, he says the thing to Harry. Oh, no, that's it. Because Hagrid's like, oh, so I hear you're giving out signed pictures, Harry. Why haven't I got one?
Yeah.
And Harry's like, no, I haven't. And then Hagrid's like, oh, I'm just joking. And yeah. He's like, yeah, like Gilderoy came around saying that you were doing that and that you should wait until you're a bit more like famous or something. Then yeah. Already pointed out that you're a 10 times famous than him without even trying, Harry.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought, oh, I bet Gilderoy fucking love that.
So, well, the next thing I have, yeah, they talk a little bit about that, a little bit about the slug thing, and then are they just going up to the castle and McGonagall finds them and tells them about their detentions?
Like, yeah, and I'm not happy about these punishments.
No, note that I have says Ron's detention makes no sense.
Yeah, Ron has to help Filch polish the trophies by hand.
Why is Filch the caretaker if he can't do magic?
Like, actually, I feel like fucking Dumbledore. Do you know what? I bet Dumbledore has his, like, magic CCTV throughout the castle. Whenever fucking Filch is, like, struggling to do his little magic and shit, Dumbledore's just sitting there fucking laying back, Kleenex, Wizardaline in hand, fucking just jerking off at the struggle that Filch has to go through to fucking get his job done.
I know.
This is why Filch is so unhappy.
He is literally the worst person for the job. Like, it's a massive magic castle. And there's so many more efficient ways of cleaning using magic.
Yeah, there's literally spells that we have covered.
We have
clean
been
things.
Over it. And like, so he has to clean everything without magic for some reason, just because it makes no fucking sense. And then
do you think maybe he asked for that job though?
Well, I feel like that must be it. Like, he have just wanted to be involved in the magic world in some way.
And maybe he was like, look, I'm good at cleaning. And Dumbledore was like, well, if you want, you can work in the kitchens. You could be like Madame Pomfrey's, like, nurse man.
Yeah. I mean, like, but even that, you would need to use magic. Like, gamekeeper, Hagrid doesn't, well, he does, but
I reckon he could do gamekeeper. I feel like Filch must have asked for that job. Why doesn't he could work at the fucking Three Broomsticks or the Hog's Head or something, you know?
Yeah.
Any of those jobs he could have done. It's bizarre.
Because you really would need to use a lot of magic to keep that castle clean.
Yeah, like a ton of it, actually. And the teachers could easily just do like a quick clean up every night when they're doing their like patrols. I'm sure if all the teachers had put their wands together, they could do like a castle-wide magic cleaning spell.
Yeah.
And also, why do they have a trophy room? How often do you give out trophies in that school?
Once a year.
Yeah, the house cup, that's it. And it lives in, like, with the head of house's office. That's it. What is the trophy room for?
Yeah, do they have, like, inter-school competitions other than the Dry Wizard tournament?
No.
I mean, not in the rest of it. Yeah, what are these trophies?
I think it's just a trophy. I reckon it's just that one fucking trophy. So fucking Ron's just sitting there polishing the thing.
Just by itself in the room. It's a massive room.
And then fucking
room.
Filch's like, oh, once you finish that, you know what else you can polish, Ron? And he's like, no, I don't want to know. And he's like, oh, I think you do. Oh, God, Ron just turns and Filch has got, like, the tablecloth in front of him doing, like, a tablecloth trick. It's like, I don't want to see your cock magic.
It's the only type of magic I can do.
Ah, so yeah, but Harry's detention is to go and help Lockhart fucking read through his fan mail. I was like, I think that's the worst punishment, to be fair.
Yeah.
So he has to go and spend a night with Lockhart listening to him prattle on about bollocks.
Yeah.
Such bollocks. I can't believe Lockhart. He would be the worst husband, I feel.
Just the worst human.
Yeah, like he must have no friends. Like, he must have no friends.
No, other than, like, sycophants.
Yeah, it's just fans and him. Shit, that's such a bad life.
Yeah, but he loves it, though.
But does he?
Well, he's a fucking idiot, isn't he?
I guess so.
And he's a charlatan, right?
Yeah.
He's a full-on, like, fraudster. Well, not fraud, but,
like,
you know.
Maybe his friends are the people who are just like him. So sort of like a guild of, like, con artists.
Yeah.
So they're friends, but only in, like, the sense that they all hang out.
But I don't... I feel like he is sort of delusional about his own achievements. Like, he doesn't really believe that he is a charlatan. I think he probably believes that he has done, or at least yeah. is capable of doing the things he's said he's done.
I reckon he's probably a compulsive liar.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, because he does just volunteer information when he's not even asked.
Yeah.
Like, he just can't fucking help himself. So really, a mental home probably is the best place for him.
Yeah.
Or death. Yeah. Either way, I'm getting off. So, yeah, so Harry...
mental homes and death.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
What a grim serial killer that would be. Just target mental homes and fucking morgues.
Why would a serial killer target morgues? His job's already done. It's the lazy serial killer.
Yeah, I like to just make sure they're dead, okay?
Yeah, yeah. I like to go and pull out all the drawers and just be like, yep. Yep, nice.
Yes, and when rigor mortis is set in, they stay hard for hours.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's vile. So, yeah, Harry's doing his detentions, and then he hears spooky voices.
Spooky voices.
Yeah, he hears, like, rip, tear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
Okay. If anyone's, like, I think it's more common that people have read the books rather than listened to the audiobooks, but yeah. they put a cool effect
yeah,
on Stephen Fry's
like
voice.
Yeah, I was, like, happy about that. I was like...
Yeah.
Because they do that in other books too. Like when Harry's got having like a memory or like a flashback, they'll put like a little bit of echo like on it so you can tell it's in his mind and shit.
Nice. High production values.
Yeah. Anywho.
Anywho.
So yeah, Harry hears these voices. And of course we know what that is.
Yeah.
Because you've read the book. So spoilers, it's Harry's dead mum. No, spoilers, it's the basilisk. And I thought that's such a weird thing for a snake to think. Like...
It must be saying it.
Yeah.
Harry can't read its thoughts. So this mental basilisk is just like slithering around in the walls, in the walls, talking to itself
yeah.
out loud.
Going like, rip,
oh,
tear.
I'm going to kill someone.
Yeah, I must. Because it says things like, I must destroy or I must something.
Yeah, time to kill.
Yeah, and it's like, what the fuck? Surely the snake, if a snake was thinking words, it would just be like.
I mean, yeah, it has had like years of solitude, I suppose.
It would not survive.
What has it been feeding on?
Well, they do say, like, they see loads of rat bones and shit. That's a big fucking snake. You would need, like, 1,000 rats at a time to get some sort of sustenance. Unless they go into, like, massive hibernation. But then the reptiles don't do that.
No, but then I suppose this is a, like, mythical reptile.
I guess so. But it's been there for, what, like, 700 years?
Fuck, really?
Yeah, well, think, because he got, like, Salazar put in there just before he left, right?
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking like 50 years since Voldemort was there, but it wasn't there, was it?
It's the same beast, yeah.
Oh, Christ. Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, we were talking about...
The weird things the snake was saying, I think.
Yeah, and then we were talking about how the basilisk has survived 700 years.
Yeah.
Sorry, we had to briefly stop recording there.
Yeah, I got my period. And Tom was like, I think you might have colon cancer.
Yeah.
Right, so that's kind of the end of chapter 7. Then we moved on to chapter 8, the Death Day Party.
Yeah, when do they actually... Oh, yeah, they've had their detentions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about that. Okay, yeah, the Death Day Party. So what happens first?
It kind of just starts off because I think Winter is...
Coming.
We're so sad. So it starts off because it's like winter time and winterish time setting in and everyone's getting a cold. And I thought everyone's getting sent to the hospital wing to get pepper up potion.
Yeah.
Just to like cure it. And it makes your ears steam. And so Ginny Weasley's, because she's got red hair, it makes it look like her head's on fire because steam's coming out of her ears.
Yeah.
And I thought the pepper up potion was such... It's one of those quirks, that not the bad kind of JK quirk, but the good kind that makes me really love the series.
Yeah.
Because it's just so... It's my favourite bits of the Harry Potter series throughout are just the bits that are just describing the normal day-to-day events of, like, the characters. When they're just going about their business and doing, like, cool little magical things. Those are the bits I love. I love the most.
Yeah, me too. And I really think there could stand to be more of that.
Yes.
That a lot of what they do is too similar to the way that Muggles operate, and it just wouldn't be.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, I agree that I thought the pepper up potion was cool. Nice touch.
I thought that was pretty snazzy. It's one of the really like escapist things, I think. It's the kind of thing that just reading about their normal school day, just that little side note of it, it's the kind of thing that just it adds to the world build in a way that it's just what gets you so sort of enraptured in these books, I find.
Yeah, totally.
Quote that, put that on the back of your next re-release. So Harry bumps into Nearly Headless Nick, who has been refused admission to the Headless Hunt.
Yeah, and I mean, it's obvious why, isn't it? I mean, their reasons are valid. I wouldn't let him in.
I'd be like, look, mate, let me find out if this is a whites-only club.
You can't prove that you were white when you lived. We're all, like, pearlescent now.
Yeah. But Nick's so fucking upset about it. And they're like, look, you can't do it because you can't participate in, like, headless polo where we use our heads as, like, the balls or...
Yeah.
Is it polo or croquet?
Well, it's one of them. But either way...
same thing.
No. Polo's played on horses.
Yes, you're correct.
Which they do, like, ride into the party on horses, don't they?
Yeah.
Or at least that's how I imagined them arriving anyway.
Yeah, they do. And Nick was like... He says he was hit 45 times with an axe.
Yeah.
And I mean, funny, but if you hit 40, you'd be fucked up as a ghost, like... You wouldn't have a head. You would just be mush.
Yeah.
You'd be truly headless in the sense there wouldn't be any head to carry around. No. It would just be a fucking, little bag of dripping mess.
Well, maybe he was dead after, like, hit 2 or 3, and so that's the state he died in,
maybe,
so ghost. And then he just kept hacking at it.
I guess so.
Because getting hit 45 times with a blunt axe, even if a bit of sinew does remain connecting, your head's just going to be pummeled into mush.
Yeah, you'd be pulverized. I know, who is it? Is it Catherine?
Are we going Henry VIII wife here?
Yeah, so what was the third or fourth one? It's Catherine of Aragon, Anne Boleyn, Jane Seymour. One of the Catherines.
Should we Google it? Because it sounds ignorant. I mean, I am ignorant.
The Catherine that I'm looking
for. Catherine of Aragon. Anne Boleyn, Jane Seymour, Anne of Cleves, Catherine Howard, and
that's
then Catherine
it.
Parr.
Catherine Howard, when she was beheaded, it took her, like, I think 6 or 7 blows of the axe to get her head off.
Thick neck.
Yeah.
Say what you will about Catherine Howard.
She was a bit of a trunch ball. But Anne Boleyn was fucking smart. She got beheaded with a sword. She asked for that. So she got on her knees, got blindfolded, and then she got she asked for a sharpened sword. And they did it in one fell swoop.
Nice.
Yeah. Good old Anne Boleyn. She's my favourite of the wives. I think she's most people's favourites because she's just so cool. And she gave birth to Elizabeth I, the bastard queen.
I feel like that'd be like my drag name.
The bastard queen. I love it.
I'm so fucking using that. Oh my God, I love that so much.
Well, I have shockingly little opinion on Henry VIII and his wives.
Do you?
Shockingly little knowledge, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, the Tudors were like my favourite thing in high school.
Oh, really?
School. They were like my favourite history thing, yeah. They released a collector's stamp set in 1998 of the Tudors. And I remember making my mum take me to the post office to go and get them. And I think you got Henry VIII as a one big stamp and then his 6 wives as a little ones. And I don't have the Henry VIII one anymore, but I do have the 6 wives still. And they're all like the perforations are all joined still. Yeah.
Nice.
I'll put that on the Instagram so people can see how cool I am. They'll be fucking vintage by now as well because they'll be 21 years old. Maybe I should sell them.
I thought that about my Pokemon cards recently.
Oh, I did that already.
Did you? I don't think any of mine are in good enough condition to be actually worth
really?
Anything.
Oh, mine were in like the plastic wallet. God, imagine if they had, like... Nah, that's not cool. I was going to say, imagine if they had, like, Henry VIII Pokemon cards. Like, right, I'll trade my Anne Boleyn Shiny for your Catherine Parr. It's like, no, I want to do battle with them. I'm just imagining, like, the two wives battling. What would they do? Just, like, scissor each other to death? Because that's all girls do, right?
You did a little, like, bounce when you said scissoring as well. Just to, like, demonstrate.
Right, so back to Harry Potter and Le Chambre des Chouches.
Yeah.
because Harry's chatting to Nick in the hallway, he's bumped into him. He's kind of traipsed in after some excursion outside. Was it Quidditch practice?
Yeah, Quidditch practice, and it was raining and wet and shitty, and so he's covered in
he's all
and...
covered in mud.
Covered in muck.
And Filch has a fucking epi about it.
Yeah.
And gives and makes him go to the office so he can write him up. And Harry's like, it's only mud. And then Filch is like, I've just spent fucking past 20 years of my life cleaning that corridor.
Yeah, and it might be just a bit of mud to you, but it's an extra hour scrubbing for me.
Yeah, it's like, fucking hell.
And we return to our previous question, why don't they have a caretaker that can use magic?
Imagine your fucking resignation, you twat. Go work at a muggle school.
Yeah.
I'm shocked, because then you can bring all your little like magic cleaning potions and then you'll be the best caretaker ever.
Yeah, you want, he is not good at the job he has. He is not suited for it. This doesn't fit his skill set.
So, yeah, he's waiting in Squilch's. What's his name? Filch. Filch's office. Oh, he's waiting in Filch's office. And then as Filch is looking for the right paperwork, there's a big clash bang outside. Or no, in the corridor above. And Filch's like, oh, that fucking peeves. And he storms out. And Harry's just waiting.
Yeah, and Harry sits there waiting. And what he sees, the envelope. The envelope with the quick spell course.
Yeah.
If you're struggling with your... And I thought it's very generic, that quick spell course. It's like, are you struggling with your magic?
Yeah.
Come and do this magic course.
That's quite a load of bollocks, though. It's blatantly that kind of thing that you'd see at the back of, like, the Quibbler. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, do you want to do this? Send in £35 of, like, a non-refundable deposit and we'll send you all your course materials. And I bet it's bollocks.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing... It's like the anti-version of the course that she does in Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Do you know, when she sends away for all the magic thing and then the guy's like, I didn't think this stuff was real. And she's like, well, it is real. I can fly and everything. Do you remember that? No? Okay. So... Yeah, so Harry sees this thing, and I get the sense that it's actually not for people who can't do magic, because it's for people who are just shit at magic.
Yeah, exactly. But surely people are generally shit better at some branches of magic than another. Like, I get if like a herbology course or a transfiguration course or something, you could go on to boost up your... But it's just like, are you bad at magic?
The kind of thing that if you actually look in the catalogue, it is like more specific. They have, do you want this, do you want this, do you want that? But it might just be sort of like a really generic shit, like shitty course if it doesn't work.
Probably. So, Harry sees that and then sort of puts it back in a hurry. Filch comes back. And when Filch returns, he's saying that he's all gleeful. He's like, that vanishing cabinet was extremely valuable.
I did not pick up on that at all.
Yeah. And then when Harry comes out, just skipping forward a little bit, when Harry comes out of Filch's office and sees Nearly Headless Nick, and he's like, Nick's like, oh, did it work? I got Peeves to smash the vanishing cabinet. He says he's looking upon the wreckage of the vanishing cabinet.
So that's why it was broken. Because Malfoy spends the whole of fucking book six trying to repair it.
Oh, I've forgotten that.
So yeah, maybe it got put back together. Like, magically, because I guess someone probably walked past it and was like, oh, reparo. But maybe it was, like, fundamentally broken.
Yeah.
And so Malfoy had to spend that whole time repairing it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
But maybe not, because late in book five, I think, don't the twins, like, bungle one of the Slytherins into... I think they bungle Ernie McMillan into the cabinet, and then they lose him for, like, months, and then he comes back. Because he keeps on going, maybe not months, he probably would have died in that time. I think like a week, because he keeps on going in between Hogwarts and Borgin and Burks and doesn't realise what is happening.
Shit.
And then when they let him out, he's gone a bit loopy. So maybe it wasn't, but then that might have been why it was broken. Like it was doing that, it was broken, because it was doing it automatically instead of at a command. So maybe it was broken when they'd done that to him, and then Malfoy had heard about this story and was like, huh. So we tried to fix it. Then I wonder how it got into the Room of Requirement then. Do you think Malfoy took it, put it into the Room of Requirement so we could work on it in secret?
Mate, I didn't remember any of this. I just remembered Vanishing Cabinet.
Tom's
was...
not read the Harry Potter books.
I have. It was just a while ago.
I love that, like, defiant. I have, I swear.
I can, you know, do maths and stuff. But, like... I just remember that the Vanishing Cabinet was relevant in book seven because it's how they get from... No, it's how Malfoy gets shit in and out of the school or whatever. And I thought, oh, but it's broken here. And that's the extent of my thoughts about it.
Yeah. It's only quite recently that I stopped listening to this book series on a loop. And I've been listening to it from like 2010. to like last year.
Wow.
Pretty continuously, just sort of like stopping and then going back. Just if I never had a podcast, I'd put this on, just sort of like white noise kind of thing.
Mm.
So that's why I know so much and yet have forgotten so much at the same time. Okay, so when he bumps into him, nearly had a sneak, Nick says, yeah, I done this, I got Peter to do that. Then Harry's like, oh, how can I ever repay you? And then Nick flops out his ghostly cock. And Harry's like, I don't think it works like that. And then Nick's like, just the visual of you moving your head back and forth upon my ghostliness is enough for me. And Harry's like, this will just feel like...
If you pass through it with your mouth open, yeah, you can almost taste it.
Harry closed his eyes and remember what it was like to have a zoom from the ice cream truck that time he went to the zoo. Cold and hard. That was such a far-reaching joke. I take it back.
You also said have a zoo from the ice cream truck.
I said zoom. As in a zoom ice lolly.
Oh.
So maybe it was funny, guys, and Tom just didn't laugh because he's a fucking cunt. There we go. Yeah, so Nick's like, oh, do you know what you could do? You could come to my death day party. And I think Harry's like, what the fuck is that? And then Nick's like, well, you know.
It's obvious if you think about it.
Yeah,
you can't.
It's exactly what it sounds like. Death day party. And Harry's like, yeah, okay, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'd be pretty hyped to go to a ghost death day party. Like,
I kind of would, yeah.
Well, up until it becomes clear that it's not fun for living people when he gets there, I'd be yeah, that sounds like, you know, an experience.
It does sound like an experience. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So Harry tells Ron and Hermione, I think, when he sees them next, right?
Yeah, he goes up to the Gryffindor common room and Fred has stolen a salamander from Care of Magical Creatures lesson and is feeding it a firework and it flies around the room like blowing up in sparks
that
and stuff.
That is pretty harsh.
It's fucking horrible.
I do remember that salamanders in the Wizarding World are like fire dwellers, so they live in like bonfires and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think they do eat fire.
Yeah, like sort of generic mythical salamander lives
maybe
in.
Maybe it was just the equivalent of giving it like popping candy.
Yeah,
which is still pretty harsh. Did you ever used to do that thing with if you and your friend ate popping candy, if you put your mouths like close to each other, they like the candy would like jump between your mouths?
Yeah. No, but shall we?
Just did like a 3 minute of us recording like that of all the candy. Like, guys, if you could see this, it'd blow your mind. Yeah, so I think like the other two are like, I don't know if that sounds any fun or not, but okay. So they all rock up and there is a bit of like a morbid curiosity, isn't there?
Yeah.
And then they sort of get there and it is as fucking ashy and spooky as you can imagine.
Yeah, it's cold. It's down in dungeons and it's freezing and the food's all rotten and it stinks.
Guys, that food is so fucking bleak.
Yeah.
And I did wonder, why don't they just like fucking make like normal food and then just add some like magic MSG to it so it's like ultra tasty, and then the ghost could taste it, you know? That'd be kind of better than having moldy food.
I guess. Can ghosts do magic?
No, but someone could have done it for them.
I suppose.
The elves could have.
I mean, how did the ghosts get the food there in the first place?
Yeah, it must have been the house elves were like, oh, but would they, I doubt they would have kept rotten food, right?
No.
Maybe if you tell them in advance, like, I need, like, fucking at the end of last summer, Nick's like, do you know what, guys? Don't throw away all this food left over from the, like end of term feast. Just keep it in a little drawer and then bring it out for my death day party. And they're like, well, okay. And then they did.
Maybe there's just, like, ghost caterers.
God, what a fucking business model, right? I feel like we need to make this happen.
For all the ghosts?
No. Right, important side note, how fucking dope would that be, right, if we catered for, like, gothic parties? So we made, like, ghost food. It was, like, normal nice food, but, like, that was made to look like this kind of shit.
I suppose.
That'd be rad. I would so fucking get that, like a cobweb cake.
Well, yeah, but I don't want to be the one that does it.
No, like, we have, like, bakers and shit like that. We're just, like, the business owners and stuff.
Yeah, I suppose.
Oh, my God.
Although we're still working in catering. I just feel like working in catering is one of those things I'm like, why would anyone do this? Seems stressful as fuck.
All I can imagine right now is, like, a bowl of, like, fruit, right? Maybe, like, candied fruit that's been made to look like... not so it's mouldy in a way, but mouldy in like a ghostly, like grey, sort of like Adam's Family type way.
So what you're saying is Halloween themed food, but all year round.
Oh my God, yeah. Because there are plenty of people, myself included, who love that gothic kind of shit, and that would so be my party. Oh my God, I'm so doing this. Right, so they get
Let me know how that goes.
Mate, I think I'm going to be meaning it. So they see it's just like a bleak room. Yeah, and then the fucking Headless Hunt guys show up being all... because Nick's just about to make his birthday speech, right? And then they fucking rock up on their horses, do a little like display and shit.
And just fully distract everyone and ruin his speech. Which is harsh. That is salt in the wound. Like, I was totally... he seems like a fucking a bit of an asshole, but you know, he's a bit of a character, the main guy. And I was like, and I get why they won't let Nick join the Headless Hunt. It totally makes sense. But then, like, they don't need to ruin his death day speech.
Do you think it was just, like, inopportune timing? Or do you think they kind of planned to show up at that time?
Oh, I don't know. But either way, they could have just been like, let's wait a minute.
Why did they invite them?
Oh, I don't know.
That's a bit weird.
Ghost politics.
I guess so, yeah. Maybe they weren't invited and they just showed up regardless.
Yeah, maybe. They say there were hundreds of ghosts there.
Really?
Yeah, it says there were like hundreds of
Where was this being held?
Dungeons.
Yeah, but how fucking big is a dungeon that hundreds of ghosts could fit in?
I know, one of the bigger dungeons, I think it says.
That is reserved for what exactly?
Couldn't tell you, mate. Potions exams?
Maybe. Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, maybe.
But why is it necessary for potions to happen in the dungeons anyway? Just because it fits with Snape's demeanour?
I mean, I guess so. And maybe it's where they have the largest amount of taps that go straight to the lake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, or maybe just the temperature is just, you know, clement down there. So that happens. They meet Moaning Myrtle for the first time. And Hermione sees her across the way and she's like, oh, God, Neville's Moaning Myrtle. Blah,
yeah.
Blah.
And then
Peeves being the cunt, he's like... Was he just saying something about Myrtle? Did you just call Myrtle or something something? And then he's like, Myrtle! And then Hermione's like, no, Peeves, don't! And he calls her over, and I'm like, oh, God, this is excellent.
And Peeves says he's one of the only one that isn't pearly white.
Yeah.
He's wearing, like, colours and orange and stuff. So the rules for Peeves are definitely different.
That's because I've said this before. Yeah, he's he's a poltergeist, so he's 100% solid. Like, he can't pass through walls.
Yes, he can. He does.
No, he can't.
He comes up through the table in this scene.
That's very true. I don't know what he's... Maybe he's sort of like semi... What's that word? Corporeal.
Yeah. I mean, he must be. No, anyway, he chases Myrtle off, throwing peanuts at her and calling her spotty.
Peeves might be my favourite character in a way. I hate him, but I just love how unabashed he is.
Yeah.
So that happens... Oh, so all the food is mouldy and stuff. So after a while, they're like, man, I'm fucking hungry.
Yeah, after a while, they basically just decide to sack it off because they're not having a good time. And they leave the dungeon on their way up to... Are they on their way to the feast?
They're on their way to the feast. And then Harry hears the basilisk. But that's my new sex move. fucking hell, can you imagine? Rip, tear. Just they hear like the rip, tear. Have to... Whatever it says.
I'm pretty sure it says time to kill.
I always imagine, have you watched Hercules recently? The animated film?
Not recently.
So do you remember like when like the Titans are released in that movie?
Vaguely, yeah.
And they're like, have to freeze him. Have to crush him. Blow him away. And like, they all have like a little like catchphrase they keep on repeating. That's the only words I can imagine the basilisk saying. Freeze.
at this point was when I thought this basilisk has lost his fucking mind. It's just slithering around inside the walls talking to itself.
Yeah. Eat him. Cook for him. Make him a painting. Harry's like, can you not hear that? And then and like the other's like, hear what?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but they would at least hear the fucking hissing.
They'd be able to hear something.
Yeah.
But they don't. And they hurry along the corridor and they come to... Is it the writing they see first?
They see the puddle on the floor. They come outside one of the bathrooms on the... Which corridor is it?
Oh, it doesn't matter. One of the corridors. They see
it's a corridor near the hall, I think, because people come bursting out of the hall.
Yeah, well, it's the one right? It's outside Moaning Myrtle's bathroom, I think. Because in the next chapter, they go and they're snooping around there, and they go and speak to Myrtle, and are like, "Did you see anything weird? Because it happened outside your bathroom."
So the water must have spread from the bathroom down the corridor. Then I'm guessing.
Yeah, probably.
So yeah, they see fucking the writing on the wall saying, "And the Chamber of Secrets has been opened. Enemies of the air, beware."
Yeah.
And Mrs. Norris.
Yeah, and then they get a bit closer and see what's that, and it's Mrs. Norris, the cat, hanging by her tail from the torch bracket.
That's never ever made sense to me.
No. Was she just chilling there?
But yes, like hanging by her. It's not like her tail was tied in a knot around the fiend.
Cats don't have prehensile tails.
Yeah. She's just like, it's like her fucking tail has been like magically stuck there.
Yeah.
It would be better to say they saw Mrs. Norris like draped over the thingy, stiff as a board.
Yeah. The only thing that could have happened is that either someone found her and put her up there before Harry and Ron and Hermione got there and then ran away.
Yeah.
Or the basilisk put her there after it petrified her just for effect.
Yeah. It makes no sense at all, actually.
Because she can't have been there hanging by her tail when the basilisk approached.
That is such a good question, and I've always wondered it, but like now I'm really thinking about it, I'm like, there's no way this would have happened.
No. Oh well, it doesn't make any sense. There's no explanation for it that I can think of, other than the basilisk just wanted it there, so he hung her up after.
Also, why wouldn't the basilisk just eat the fucking cat?
I mean, it doesn't look like it gets to eat much.
Yeah. Anyway, so they do that, and then Ron, what I've noticed throughout these chapters is that Ron is almost always just the fucking voice of reason.
Because he says, we should leave. We don't want to be found here. Yeah.
Without even really thinking, he's like, we need to get out of here right now.
Mm.
And as they turn to go, the Great Hall opens up, right? And all the students come busting up the stairway and everyone fucking stops because they're like, dun, dun, dun. And then Filch steps forward and he's like, my fucking cat.
Yeah.
Literally says that. Yeah. And the teachers are like, oh, shit.
Oh, Filch's fucking cat.
Right, so then we kind of move straight into chapter 9, The Writing on the Wall.
Yeah.
Kind of question was, do you think Filch fucks his cat?
Of course, that's your first question.
He's heartbroken in a way. I've got cats. They mean more to me than anything in the world. His sadness seems of a different nature, you know?
Yeah, but his cat is like his only companion.
I know.
Yeah. That's what I mean. He can have that level of attachment to it without fucking it.
They're like, oh God, the cat, its fur is all matted. It must be from the wall or on the floor. And Filch is like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It brushes out. It's cool. Because, yeah, like McGonagall is there, Snape is there, Lockhart is there, Dumbledore is there, Filch is there. That's all the adults, I think. I don't think Sprout is there. And Dumbledore straight away gets the cat down and like sort of does some weird like sex magic to it to try and revive it.
Yeah, they take it to Lockhart's office.
Do they?
Yeah, because there's pictures of Lockhart with his hair in rollers.
I wondered why, because I heard that and I was like, what, so is that in the corridor? Yeah, I totally missed the whole like taking them to the office bit. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and then and Lockhart's poncing around saying,
oh God, yeah.
Oh, it's probably this that killed her. Oh, I could have whipped up a remedy in no time.
And then Dumbledore's like, the cat's not dead.
Yeah.
It's merely been petrified. And then Lockhart says something like, oh, yeah, of course, I knew that. And he says something later like, oh, yeah, I could rip up like an anti-petrified potion with mandrakes, blah, blah, blah. Or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then to which Snape's like, I think you're fine. I'm the potion master. Tom,
I think you should leave the Snape impressions to me. Okay. What it's meant to sound like is, so I think you So Dumbledore's like, yeah, she's merely been petrified. And then Filch is like, oh, fucking hell, what do I do? And Dumbledore's like, no, it's okay. Just so happens we've got some things festering away in the greenhouses that cure petrification. And everyone's like, phew.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, they've got to wait for the mandrakes to mature, though, haven't they? Which is why they can't
become grown-ups. Which a fucking grown-up mandrake. In the film, they look like appropriate. In the books, I think a grown-up mandrake is literally like a 6-foot-tall man, green man thing. It's like a Groot, I think. Like, pretty scary stuff, I think. But also, I bet Professor Sprout fucking loves that.
You think she makes out with him?
Yeah, I bet they've got fucking... And they're always hard. There you go. And then Snape's like, no, because Filch obviously thinks Harry's done it. And then Harry's like, what? I had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
And Filch is like, yeah, you fucking did. You saw that I'm a squib. He knows I'm a squib. That's why you did it. And Harry's like, I don't even know what a squib is.
Yeah.
And then Snape's like, I get the feeling. No.
I get the feeling. Oh, that was a terrible one. I get the feeling, Dumbledore, that Potter is not being entirely honest.
Yeah, what does he say to him? He's like...
Which is sort of not. So he says, why were you there and not at the feast?
Yeah, that's it.
Because we were at the Death Day party. Okay, why did you not come to the feast?
This corridor and not go to the feast? And Ron's like, oh, because we weren't hungry. And then Ron's stomach grumbles as he says
but
it.
I thought, were they not on their way? No, they weren't on their way to the feast. They were following the voices.
Yeah, so they left to go to the feast, but they heard Harry heard the voices pretty instantaneously.
That's it. And it was the voices that Harry didn't want to say about.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, yeah, so that happens, and then Harry feels like Snape kind of x-rays him, which now we kind of know that Snape probably did occlumency on him in that moment.
Yeah, or legilimency.
Yeah, sorry, occlumency is the defence, isn't it?
I think so, because it suggests
like... because if you're a legilimens, occluding. You can... What does occluding mean?
To block from sight.
Does it? I didn't know that. That makes total sense now then. Yeah, so he must be doing legilimency on him, which him and Dumbledore do at various points throughout the book. Snape more so, because Snape's an intrusive fuck. Yeah, so that happens. Right, they get sent to bed, and sort of from the next day, Filch is continuously patrolling that corridor, waiting to catch the person who wrote the graffiti and petrified his cat.
Yeah.
And so everyone's sort of like buzzing about what the fuck does that mean? What is the enemy of the bear? What is the Chamber of Secrets? And this is one of my favourite parts of any Harry Potter book, because they go to History of Magic.
Yeah.
So they're having like the shitty lesson with Professor Binns. Which, why is that man still fucking there teaching them a subject when he's dead and a shit teacher?
He is a shit teacher.
Yeah, like Dumbledore. Urgh! So yeah, so they're having boring History of Magic, and Binns is like, in Twinkle-Dee-Twinkle-Dee-Two, blah, 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 I did this. And then Hermione shoots up her fucking hand, and everyone is like, the way she writes it is like, and then something happened in History of Magic that had never happened before. Hermione raised her hand, and everyone's like, what?
Yeah.
And then she's like, sir, what do you know about the Chamber of Secrets? And you could hear like a fucking pin drop, and then Binns proceeds to explain, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, do we need to like go through the whole history of it? Do people know?
I think it'd be quite nice to. I think it's one of the more interesting bits.
Okay, so the four founders of Hogwarts.
Who all handily have alliterative names.
I was going to say, do you think that was a, they had like other applicants? His name was like, I don't know, Dave, the goat herder or whatever. And he was like, could you change your name to Gary?
Oh, God. I think so. I imagine that these guys all like met at like whatever was magic uni back then.
Or maybe alliterative names were just the fashion of the time and maybe loads of people had them.
Yeah, so maybe like Francis Fornicator or like...
Francis Fortescue. Who's that?
No, you're thinking of Florian Fortescue, the ice cream maker.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love some ice cream. I bet his ice creams are the best as well.
Magic ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah, it tastes all sticky.
Tastes sticky. That's a tough taste to get right, young man.
Yes, and the four brightest wizards of the day came together to create a school for wizards.
And decided to call it Hogwarts.
I mean, we've kind of discussed how maybe they came to this name.
Have we?
Yeah, it was like, Ravenclaw was like, fuck, I've got a wart on my finger. And then Gryffindor was eating a hog and was like, this hog tastes good. And then they were like, I'm the Newton bitter. What if we combine these magical words and create a school? And then, like, Helga Hufflepuff was like, fuck me. Please. And
someone.
Also, yes. And Salazar was like, well, I guess, fine. And that's how Hogwarts is born.
Right. Well, I'm glad we got that cleared up.
And so they create a school, and obviously Gryffindor wants to take on the brave wizards. He wants a school for brave wizards. Ravenclaw likes smart wizards. Hufflepuff likes fucking everyone. But Slytherin's like, I don't want this school to accept purebloods. And then the rest of them are like, no, that's not really fair. But Salazar considers Muggleborns untrustworthy. Him and Gryffindor come to blows eventually.
come to blows.
Like, I just don't like the way you suck it anymore. And then, so Slytherin leaves. And before he leaves, I think he sort of like says that one day his heir will return to the school and all the Muggleborns will be purged. And then a myth slash legend is born that he's hidden a secret chamber in the castle that houses the monster that will do this, and only his heir will be able to open it and release the Kraken. And everyone's like, oh my god. And then like Hermione's like, ask another question, and Ben's like, look, this school's about this, like, lessons about history, not about myths. Can we just get back to topic? And then he carries on fucking drawling about whatever shitty subject he was talking about, and then everyone just falls back into the, like, stupor again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved the whole explanation of the Chamber of Secrets and stuff, because I thought that was pretty rad. I don't know, it just reminded me of class when someone would, like, I'm not to, like, humble brag, but it was usually me, he'd be like, hold on a minute, what is this thing? And then the teacher would go on, like, a little, like, tangent explaining it, and everyone would be like, that's so fascinating. And when the teacher would tell you something that like they're not really supposed to because they think you're a bit too young, but they're like, okay, don't, like, you know, repeat this, but blah blah blah, and you'd be like, oh my god, that's so cool. I still love things like that.
Yeah, we got shown do you know the film American History X?
You got shown that in school?
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Yeah,
we were in year 11, I think.
Okay. Did you have to get a permission slip signed?
No. No. The headmaster walked in and the history teacher shat himself and paused it.
No so, way!
Yeah.
That is excellent.
And told us not to tell anyone. All right. So
that happens.
After Professor Binns's lesson, they're walking back past the point in the corridor where the thing happened.
Yeah.
And the writing's on the wall and everything. Filch isn't there. And they decide to have a little snoop around for clues.
That's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah. Why?
Clues for what? To see who done it. So what are you going to find? You literally saw everything.
Yeah. And surely they know that they're sort of suspects.
Yeah.
And Percy comes up to them and says exactly that. It's like,
so
don't
true.
You know how this looks? People think that you're involved, and now you're here just sort of poking around.
Yeah, and he deducts 5 points from them. And I was like, you know what? Well, you guys fucking deserved it, you silly cunts.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
And they see a row of spiders all exiting the building post-haste.
First of all, I love that, like, term, post-haste.
Post-haste.
It's used in something. It's in Jumanji. That's it. Side note, would you play Jumanji if it was real?
No.
Really? You wouldn't even be tempted to?
Well, I mean, I would, but no, I'm trying to rationalise why that temptation would be there, and I can't think, what do you gain from it?
Oh, just, it'd be so exciting.
Nothing good. Bad things happen every time.
Yeah, but they're so exciting. I feel like you'd never get thrills like that anywhere else.
It's like danger. Yeah, but this. Shouldn't said you wouldn't get in the boat that Hagrid takes the first years across the lake in because there's a giant squid in it.
Yeah.
Yet you would play Jumanji.
Yeah. I bet you any money most of our listeners are on my side in this. They'd be like, yeah, I think I would too.
But I think people who are up for that level of just excitement through dangerous animal-related stuff, you know, is going to happen.
I mean, at least nothing...
Would also not be like, I'm not getting in that boat if there's a squid in the lake.
I just don't like aquatic terrors.
Are there not any in Jumanji? I suppose they do it on land.
There's the crocodile, I guess. But that's kind of it.
But it's still on land, isn't it? Yeah. I guess the scary thing about aquatic terrors, as you put it, is the fact that you're in the water and you can't swim as
so
well.
Much
you can't,
of it, yeah. Yeah. And you can't see them.
Yeah.
It's just all the hidden mysteries of the ocean, and so many things are down there that could fucking fuck you up.
Do you never ever get in the sea then?
Never, ever, ever, ever.
It's a bit extreme.
It's not.
Okay.
They see the spiders. I thought it was weird because this spiders must be a continuous flow of spiders because they see it so many times. They see it twice. But it must be a continuous flow. And I was like, how many fucking spiders are in Hogwarts that they all keep on taking this route out of the castle?
Yeah.
It's not like an intermittent, like, scurry of them.
It takes some of them, like, route. 2 months longer to
it's
work
bizarre,
their way from
it?
Their lair in the castle to out the window.
I guess
it's
a big
bit
castle, but you would eventually run out of spiders.
Yeah.
Like, alas.
And then there's a bit when Ron's explaining his fear of spiders.
Oh, this fucking terrified me. Because did you, like, imagine it happening to you?
Well, no, my thought was more he was underage.
No, yeah, but do you remember what we were talking about?
Yeah.
And it wasn't Ron who did it, it was George or Fred.
Yeah, it was George or Fred.
Yeah.
So it just full illegal.
Yeah, but I think they were quite young as well, so I feel like that They wouldn't have had wands.
That's advanced transfiguration.
No, but it would have been. Think about what they can do without wands when they're really young.
Yeah, but deliberately.
Yeah.
I don't buy it could do that.
No, but I think it's that thing like, okay, do you remember in Northern Lights where Lila could...
Almost certainly not.
Really? You don't remember it?
No, I read that book once when I was like 12.
Oh, okay, right. So do you remember
I'm planning on reading it again though, because I know they're releasing a series.
Yeah, soon. Plus we might do a season on that in the future.
Oh, yeah.
The future of this very long-running podcast, which I'm sure will go 12 years or more. So, yeah, do you remember how... Right, you might not, but in the beginning... Do you remember what the alethiometer is?
Yes.
It's literally the golden compass, right? So she could intuitively read that, and which was like, oh, she must be the chosen child. But someone told her, there was like, as you get older, you'll need to start studying how to read it because you'll lose your instinctive ability to read this.
Mm.
I think it's like that. So when they do an uncontrolled magic, it's all sort of like impulsive, intuitive magic. And as you get older, you would have to learn how to focus and do that because you wouldn't be able to do it in the same way that you could as a kid. I think it's that kind of thing, like one of the kids like willed that to happen.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
And then
it just happens kind of thing.
Grasping a thin explanation.
So, you know? I think when you're that young.
So any kid can turn it whatever they want
into
anything.
Not necessarily any. I mean, any result could have happened. I feel like it was a bit of like a half chance sort of. It might not have even been like an intentional, I'm going to make magic happen. It might have been like wouldn't that be funny if this happened? And the intent was so strong that magic happened. A bit like Harry's hair regrowing because he wanted it so badly to grow back because his haircut was so shit.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it's just like, I feel like uncontrolled magic is usually more powerful in those sort of circumstances, you know? I mean, like Harry blew up Aunt Marge. Harry doesn't even know a spell to do that with a wand. Do you know what I mean?
And he got a reprimand from the ministry for doing that.
Yeah, but because Sirius had escaped, what's his name, Cornelius, is like, don't worry about it, there's bigger fish to worry about.
Yeah, but there was no reprimand for any other.
I think specifically because of that. But as well, it was accidental magic. I think accidental magic is different because there wasn't a charm that was said or anything. Whereas I think when Dobby did the levitating
spell... No,
that's
what I mean. Accidental magic is different.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't get... But it's accidental magic that he blows up Aunt Marge with.
Yeah.
And he does get a reprimand for it.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
He doesn't.
He gets expelled, doesn't he?
No, you're thinking of book 5 when he does the Patronus in front of Dudley.
Am I? Oh, maybe he just worries about it.
Yeah, because he worries about it. And then when he gets taken to Leaky Cauldron, Cornelius is like, don't worry about it, mate. And then Harry wonders why he's not had anything. And he's like, that's it, because Cornelius is like, if we sent out a thing every time someone did a bit of accidental magic, it'd be a bit of a shit show. So don't worry, it's fine. We sent in the reversal squad.
A shit show than it already is.
Yeah. So yeah, all the spite. Yeah, so basically what happens to Ron, by the way, is yeah, he's holding it because Harry's like, why are you so scared? And then Ron's like, well, you'd be scared too if you were holding a teddy when you were a kid. And then like George all of a sudden turned into a fucking big hairy spider. And yeah. I imagined how huge that spider must have been. And I am arachnophobic as well, quite badly. And the thought of it really terrified me because I can imagine how scared he would have been in that moment.
Yeah.
You'd know it wasn't some little fucking like penny spider. It was a fucking huge tarantula.
Spider the size of that teddy bear that he was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, it'd be pretty awful.
Oh, God. I would have just killed myself in that moment, I think. I would have thrown that spider, snapped my own neck just in case it ever happened to me again. Oh, God. Just thinking about it, it's making me upset. I think there's a bit I missed where do they, after Percy, no, before Percy turns up, maybe while they turn up, they scurry into Mona Myrtle's bathroom, right? Why do they go in there?
To ask her if she'd seen anything strange. Because it happened right outside her bathroom and she would have been coming up that way just before because she left the party just before them.
Right, okay.
So they want to go and ask her about stuff. And then she just gets all fucking Myrtle about it and just screams and cries. Yeah, she says, I tried to drown myself in the toilet, but then I remembered I'm already... Ron's like, already dead? And she goes, soars up in the air and does a big arc and splashes down into the toilet, covering them all in water.
How does she splash?
Exactly.
Fucking hell, what an oversight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Sort your continuity out.
But maybe there's a maybe the ghosts are slightly more corporeal than we think. Because we do find out later in the book that one of them gets wafted. That's not a euphemism.
So maybe receives a good wafting.
Can we please use that from now on, though? Mate, I got wafted last night. Like, fucking hell. Yeah, so maybe
what does
they're
it
like,
mean, though? It sounds like a wanking term.
I mean, I feel like it can mean anything.
I've been off for a quick waft.
Yeah. I feel like just like Zigga Zigga, it can mean anything you want it to. You know? That's topical because the Spice Girls are in the news at the moment. Plus, they're always in my heart. Yeah, I feel like maybe they're like a tiny bit corporeal, so they can walk through things, but air and water they can have a little bit of an effect on.
I mean, Patrick
Swayze learned how to move things in Ghost, so I feel like, you know...
Different
everything, really, isn't it?
Different rules, different world.
Yeah, but ironically, he is also dead now. So Percy appears, as we said. I don't know if he appears before or after the metal thing. It might be after, right?
Maybe, yeah.
So I think he says, what are you doing coming out of the girls' toilets?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
And we hear the first utterance of someone fingering something. And I loved it so much, yeah, because it says, Percy, because when he takes the points off of them, it says, said Percy fingering his prefect badge. I love it so much. There's another bit where Molly Weasley was going to cut Bill's hair, I think, and then she's like, oh, but it's just so long, dear, said Molly, fingering her wand. I'm always just like, you fucking knew exactly how that word would sound, even in 1990, whatever.
Yeah, but that's it.
I know it's a thing, but also...
My dad used to say that.
What? Tom, I'm just fingering your mum. I'll be there in a minute. My dad, I'll get the car started.
No, well, I can't remember a context now, but I remember as I was growing up, gradually finding it more and more funny.
Oh, God, guys, we're going to get some fucking awful home truths from Tom. Yeah, I just think it's so unnecessary. She could just say, said Percy, touching his badge.
Fondling his badge.
I would prefer that.
Caressing his badge?
Caressing his badge. Yeah.
That sounds more sexual somehow.
Caressing. I don't think so.
I think it does.
I know, with the most sternest face like a mustard, I don't think so. Do you know what, guys? When this episode goes out, that evening, I'm going to put up a Twitter poll on the Poorly Read page. What do you think sounds more sexual, caressing or fingering?
In what context, though?
Any fucking context.
No, because context matters.
Now, caressing or fingering, one's always going to sound way more sexual than the other. Because I can caress my cat, I can't finger my cat.
No, that would be a time where fingering sounds much more sexual than caressing.
At any time.
But caressing someone's hair sounds more sexual than fingering someone's hair.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah,
mate.
It does.
So I caressed her hair. I fingered her hair.
That sounds weird to say it like that.
Yeah.
But written down.
It either sounds perverted
said Mrs. Weasley fingering Bill's hair. Said Mrs. Weasley caressing Bill's hair.
Yeah,
that sounds
weird. To me, that just sounds motherly. Caressing. Because I think caressing has to really be specifically, like, in a romantically intimate thingy for it to be weird. I feel like there's like a hop, skip and a jump to make the leap from caressing to sexual, whereas fingering is right there on the table in front of you, you know?
Only if you're coming at it with that mindset.
Everyone's coming at it with that mindset.
I don't think
that's coming.
After a good fingering.
Oh, God. I don't know. We'll see. The Twitter poll will tell us.
All right. I think we'll get... it's... Okay, fine.
So, Hermione's like... So they start talking about, you know, who do you think the fucking heir of Slytherin can be? Or the heir of whatever? No, who is the heir that we are the enemies of? And they're like, well, who do we think it could be?
Yeah, and they settle on Malfoy.
Yeah, I think Ron's like, oh, come on, who do you think it is, right?
Yeah.
It's Malfoy, of course.
Yeah, it's not an unreasonable assumption.
Because he's the one who said, oh, you heard, oh, so did you hear that? Beware mudbloods or something like that.
Yeah, he makes a shitty announcement, doesn't he? Yeah.
So then they're like, oh, but how can we prove it's him? Fucking Hermione makes this fucking amazing leap to this. Oh, do you know what? I saw this thing once in this reference book that says that there's this thing in most... Oh, for everyone listening, right, you would pronounce it most potent potions, but fucking Stephen Fry decides to fucking say the old-timey E on the end of the words.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't.
No.
You'd know, even back then they didn't.
No,
he says like 99.5% sure.
He says mosty potenty potions.
She's like, yeah, it's this potion. It's incredible. We would reckon like 1,000 school rules if we did it, but that's the end. I reckon it'll work. I don't think she tells them what it actually will do.
Oh, the recipe's in this book. It's in the restricted section.
Yeah.
We'd have to get a teacher's permission, and we say our interest is only academic.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, no teacher's going to fall for that. They'd have to be really thick.
Yeah, right. And I love that line so much. One, because it came from Ron.
Yeah.
And it's weird. I'm starting to like Ron a lot more rereading these.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, looking at his things he says from a critical perspective like we are, I'm just appreciating them more. Because I'm like, Ron, you're actually, I love, you say the things that a normal teenager says.
Yeah. I always quite liked Ron. I just, not in the movies.
I started to hate him around about book four. For obvious reasons, when he's pissy, but like I loved that. That was like the like ending line of that chapter.
Yeah, me too.
Like,
and I love that
teacher's gonna fall flat. You have to be really thick.
Yeah, and I love that we all know who they're
yeah,
talking about
exactly.
as well. Yeah,
it was such a swish little line. So yeah, that kind of brings doesn't kind of it does bring us to the end of that chapter and to the end of this story. Nothing else happens after this because J.K. Rowling dies in a fire after writing that chapter.
So it's been great, guys.
It's been great, and we're off to play Jumanji. What would you be most scared of coming out of the board in Jumanji? I guess you'll have to be like African-based like things, right?
To be honest.
I guess the poacher, really.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, the guy with a gun who tries to shoot you.
God, have you seen played, the second one?
Played
by
my
by
dad.
I always thought that was such a nice touch, that film. That film is almost perfect, apart from the stupid, like farcical like slapstick bits in the supermarket. If you remember those bits.
No.
Watch
so
it again.
You have like a photographic memory of every film we reference.
Yeah.
Is it because you always bring them up? They're the ones you know you have good memories of.
No, I can remember a lot of things like that. Yeah, I think I've just seen a lot of films and stuff because it's my interest. And
it is. Yeah, I'm not an actor or a filmy person, so maybe that's why.
Have you seen the second Jumanji?
No.
Mate, watch it. I'll give it to you. That's how much I want you to watch it.
It hasn't got like Robin Williams, isn't it, has it?
No, it's a sequel. But it's done so fucking well because you think it's going to be shit. Everyone did. And then everyone I've like heard who's seen it was like, I was surprised at how great it was. I think it's better than the first one.
Well, this episode's been brought to you by Jumanji too.
This episode's been brought to you by Jumanji. But yeah, thank you for listening. Please email us with good stuff. Don't email us like hate things. Don't email us anthrax.
It took me a couple of minutes to realize how little sense that makes.
But yeah, if you've got any comments, if you just want to, you know, say something cool, if you've got, do you know, I would like to hear just like interesting like Harry Potter side notes or interesting corrections or anything that you've noticed in the chapters that we've talked about. Yeah, just email us or tweet us at poorlyreadpod. Instagram, check us out on, that was such backwards languaging, fucking hell.
it's going great, carry
am
on.
I having a stroke? Check us out on Instagram at poorlyreadpod. Email us at poorlyread@gmail.com. And yeah, check out our shitty website as well.
Yeah, the amount of fucking effort to make that website a thing. And we know for a fact nobody goes on anyone's website.
I know,
it's
right?
It's not going to get any visit, but it's there. If anyone wants to.
It's there just so no one else could take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like my first wife. So yeah, I've been Gifton.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.
Hey,
bye.
Bye.